You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 46.
This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be. Welcome back to Called to Homeschool, episode number 46. Today we're going to be talking about habits to teach your children.
And this is great. We've talked about habits a lot, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know what's funny? I actually contacted an author about one of the habits books. Not the Atomic Habits, but I think the Power of Habits.
I remember you told me this.
And I emailed them and I said, this book is amazing. Let's co-write a book together about children. And he politely declined. But my offer's still out there, sir. So I think Charles Duhigg, right? Mm-hmm. He politely declined my offer.
At least you got an answer.
He said he personally answers all emails. So I thought,
that's pretty cool.
What's it going to hurt if I email him? So anyways, habits and children and homeschool, like,
it kind of just all rolls into one thing.
Yes.
Because when you're homeschooling and your kids are home all day, you need them to have good habits or your days are not going to go very well.
That's what I think of when I see Instagram posts from cute moms, and they're great moms. Kids are at school all week and then they're like, oh, 3-day weekend, shoot me now. Because you don't have those good habits mm-hmm. with your kids. Mm-hmm. Like, you're on, somebody called it cruise director.
Yeah.
Because you're just there for the weekend to entertain.
Mom and dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
Yes.
Every time I hear that, I'm like, oh, I don't feel that way. Well, mine are always there.
Yeah.
And I kind of like having a break from school. But I think it's the same concept of your kids are used to being there and they have their routines and they have their habits. And so them being home with you is not this miserable, awful thing. It's just part of life.
It is. Right? And I love it. I cherish it. And I do like to think back, like, when mine were all little, it was different. Mm-hmm. Like, it was much more challenging.
Definitely.
And I remember when I had number 6. So he's 3 years a little bit behind everybody. Mm-hmm. So I'm like homeschooling 5 kids, this big chunk of kids. And I thought, I just need to find a co-op where you guys are gone for 2 hours. And it was enough for me. Once a week, they were gone for two hours. And I was like, okay. And I'm refreshed. And I just needed it for a few months while he was a baby. Mm. So I get it. They're all little. You're kind of in that phase of like habit training. But you're in the habit training
phase.
Yeah,
definitely.
And so now that I'm on the other end of it, I'm like, bring it
You've
on.
You still got the little ones, but you have great big ones.
Yeah,
too,
I was going to say, we just traveled with him, mm-hmm. and he's like our doted upon grandchild nephew, right? And so he was a dream on the trip.
Oh, that's nice.
Because everybody played with him, and we're home all the time together. Mm-hmm. And so he just ate it up because nobody was leaving to work and nobody was doing their own activities and whatnot. So
that's awesome.
He was a dream.
We're going to focus today on Charlotte Mason and her habit training because she has some amazing resources for this. If you haven't read her book on this, it's a good one to check out.
It is. It's written in 1800s.
Yeah.
Like, and so just remember that. So just like, I don't know, as I was reading it, it's literally called Habits by mm-hmm. Charlotte Mason. It takes me a second to think of how would we say this in our day.
Right. It's one that you're not going to just breeze on through. It'll take a little time to sift through the language, but it's got some great
information. It's totally worth it, though. Mm-hmm.
And then another little reference. This is a book that I was telling Megan, I've used this with my kids on and off for a little while, but it's called Laying Down the Rails for Children. And you can find this. I'll put a link to it. Simply Charlotte Mason. And it's like workbook format. And it's something you can do daily with your children where it has little quotes and poems and scriptures and things that you can study and learn about various habits with your kids. It has some really good information. Some of it I kind of sifted and skipped just depending on your needs and your family.
But we kind of do that with all our homeschool stuff.
But yeah, there was definitely some good, valuable information in these books and I liked them.
An episode, was it last month, I believe, we talked about consistency, not perfection. Mm-hmm. So we're going to dive deeper with that kind of concept because you're either consistently getting better or consistently getting worse,
right. Depending
on what those little habits are. And isn't it funny that these little tiny things that mm-hmm. like maybe after dinner you turn on the TV and then your habit is like we just binge watch television at night versus after dinner we're in the habit of we all clean up together and we play a game. Which one is going to give you the long-term results that you actually want?
Yeah, I think that's really great. We're going to talk a little bit about brain connections, and I think this is a really cool concept. But when you think about this, like which direction they're going, and every day they're learning new things, and whether they're learning good things or bad things, whether they're learning from a TV show or from a book, they're learning and they're progressing in some way. So we want to help guide those things that they're learning and guide their progress. You want to just guide them in the right direction, and habits are one way that you can do that, and giving them good habits with the skills that they're learning is a really important thing.
Yeah, well, it's just really great because if you think about it, when you have a good habit, you don't have to think.
Yes.
And so as a mom, if your kid spills and you're in a habit of like the way you want to respond is to like, oh, no big deal. We just clean it up. You've made it a habit and you don't have to think like, hey, don't yell at my kid. Don't like freak out. You don't have to think.
Yeah.
And so your brain can just kind of go on autopilot.
And so we want our kids to be learning that same thing. I love this, that it takes about 2 months to form a new habit. Mm-hmm. And as you're learning new skills, your kids are going to need some guidance and some direction as they're learning those. And you can't expect them just immediately to be good at this new thing you want them to do, right?
Right.
It's going to take some time. And you're going to probably have to be by their side helping them for the first little while until it becomes a normal thing for them. You want it to be a habit that when they drop something on the floor, they stop and they pick it up instead of just walk on past. My 15-year-old today, I couldn't believe it. He walked by the kitchen counter and he knocked over a water bottle. He looked at it and then he kept walking. And I was like, hey, you gonna stop and pick that up, buddy? And he's like, oh, sorry. That's one of those things that you just want it to be like, oh, I dropped it, so I'll pick it up. Normally he's just fine. That's out of the norm for him. He's normally a very clean person, but it was just so funny to me. When you're creating these habits with your children, you want to think about that, you know, are you creating these patterns that become.
Well, if you think about it too, like if it only takes 2 months to really form
it's not that habit.
Oh, sorry. It's not that long. And so like a skill that's going to benefit you the rest of the time that they live there and for the rest of their life, like 2 months, like that's nothing.
It's worth it. It's worth a little effort for 2 months to help them accomplish this.
Great news, because sometimes we talk about with older kids, some things are a little bit easier, but with habit training, it's actually easier with little kids because you can nip a bad habit in the bud. I always thought that was butt, by the way.
I did.
Like, nip a habit in the butt.
And somebody
was like, what did you just say? I don't know. In the bud. Awesome. So you can stop it before it actually becomes a bad habit. Mm-hmm. For those of you with just small children, you finally are getting thrown a bone.
So here are some of the habits that Charlotte Mason really stressed to teach her children.
Yeah, she has a lot of them. I want to say it was like 80.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of them.
We're going to go with 5.
We're going to pick a few that we feel are important that are some really good ones. Yeah. Number one, we've got obedience.
Obedience,
obviously
yes.
A very important one, right?
An easy way to teach obedience is being consistent. Mm-hmm. First of all, what are the rules? Because if your rules change, then it's hard to be obedient because it's like yesterday I knocked over the water bottle and you didn't care, but today you care.
Yeah.
And so being very clear with what are the rules in our house. Mm-hmm. So like if you have a rule, we don't jump on the couch. So every time they jump on the couch, it's like, oh, remember couches are for sitting.
That's our rule.
Yeah, that's our rule. Mm-hmm. So like that's being consistent is an easy way to teach obedience.
But then it's also important to praise them when they do right. Because it seems like we always are picking at the negatives, never praising for the good. Praise them for the good because then they'll want to do it more often.
Well, I think we've talked about that too. You know, like if I'm like, oh, Karin, you look so pretty and I love you so much and you're so nice. Then Karin's like, oh, what do you need help with, Meg? Like, you're much more
I'll give you anything.
Yeah, here's my money. You're the best friend ever. You're more inclined to help somebody that they love you, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And so I just think when you're like, oh, Karin, thank you so much for doing this. And then she asked me to do something and there's some give and take there.
It's also important to help them understand why it's important to be obedient, why you want them to follow this rule.
I mean, I just literally had to do that with my 8-year-old the other day.
I have one today, too.
Okay, yes. And like, so right now, he can only play with friends 2 times a week. So if you go to the levels of liberty, like that's one of his privileges is to earn more days with friends. Mm-hmm. Right now, he can only go 2 times a week. And he was just like, why? Like, are they bad kids? I don't get why. And I was like, no, they're awesome. I love these kids. But here's what happens when you go with them. You change, you harass the baby. Like, here are all these things that go down. And he just went, oh, yeah, I do. I do all of those things. And it was just like.
That's great that he recognized.
Well, I mean, but it wasn't attacking. Like, hey, little dummy, like you did this. It was like, did you notice when we went out of town and you didn't play with your friends that you never harassed the baby? Tripping the baby. It's so sad. And he's so big and fat. Like he just goes straight down. And it's like so sad. He was able to see with that comparison, like, okay, I get it.
We had a good, sad learning moment today. I was driving kids places and we were in a school zone. And so there was a lot of traffic and there was a car parked along the side of the road and a lady was pulling out and didn't see me driving. I was driving very slowly, but I could see her coming and she didn't see me. And so I put on the brakes very quickly. And my six-year-old had not buckled her seatbelt yet. We had just kind of shortly gotten in the car, but she hadn't buckled her seatbelt and she went flying. And she hit her head really hard.
Oh, darn it.
And just started sobbing. I don't think she was hurt as bad as she was crying. I think a lot of it was fear. But it was a really good moment for me to teach her, this is why it's really important that we wear a seatbelt, you know, because she suddenly was realizing, oh, I can really get hurt if I don't wear a seatbelt. And I've talked about it many a time to her. You know, every time we get in the car, is your seatbelt on? I didn't that day or today, obviously. Yeah. I'd forgotten in that moment. But it's a moment where you can teach. And when you have those teaching moments, it's great to take them and to help them really understand the why of this rule.
Yeah. And sometimes it does have to be a bonk on the head, unfortunately. Yeah.
She's totally fine. Nothing is hurt. She didn't even have a bruise. She's okay. But it was a good moment for teaching.
But I even think that with the obedience with the older kids of why can't I just be on my phone? Giving them that why. And even if you need to pull out some like statistics and facts and whatnot and depression with teens that are on their phone a lot and the kind of person you're becoming and the habits you're building with that, right? Mm-hmm. And so no matter what age, obviously like my two-year-old doesn't completely understand the why, but you can start with those obedience of just being consistent. Like, oh, we don't do this.
Yeah.
Okay. The second one is observation. I love this
one. I like this one too. It's a good one.
So it's from that relationship that children will begin to care for their world and taking care of it.
What does that mean? So I see this as they will see a need and fulfill it without being asked.
So remember the book Dog Poop Initiative? A dog pooped on the soccer field.
Okay.
And everybody was like, somebody should take care of that.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody should take care of that. And finally a dad went and got like a plastic bag, picked up the poop and threw it away and was like, we're all somebody.
We're all somebody. Yes.
So to me, like the observation is instead of saying somebody should do something about this, like I should do something about this and kind of looking at that from a personal, like somebody should clean this kitchen. My hands are not painted on. I could clean this kitchen.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important thing to teach your kids. I don't think they learn that easily, though. That's something I feel like I'm still working on often with my kids. Like, you know, you see a mess and you walk over it instead of stop and pick up the thing you tripped over. You just leave it there and trip over it again, right? Mm-hmm. Just helping them understand that concept of if there's something there, you observed it, you actually tripped over it. Taking the moment to put it where it belongs instead of letting the next person trip over or you again, you know? But for some reason, kids struggle with this one. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting too, like if they see you doing something. Mm-hmm. So my husband lived in Ecuador for 2 years and they just threw their garbage wherever and it was just filthy. And so he does not like litter. Mm-hmm. And if he's running, if he's hiking, he will pick it all up. And like we will take it with us. And we've gone to some hot pots before and we brought plastic bags to clean up other people's litter, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going home with like beer cans,
that's
right?
That's funny. Yeah.
But guess what my kids do now? They pick up litter.
That's amazing.
And so when we go on our run, they're picking up garbage they see. And they're doing this because dad is doing it. And so sometimes they can do it by just seeing it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you teach by example.
Observation two is things out in nature. Mm-hmm. Something beautiful. Like God made this.
Yeah.
A beautiful bird. Like it's inspiring. Have you seen a sunset before and you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
There are no words to describe.
Or been in like the most beautiful place you've ever been and you're just looking out and it's unreal. Teaching them to appreciate what they observe. That's good.
Yes. I like that.
The next one is routines. I think routines are really important. And we've talked, you know, a lot about this as well, I think. But having a regular routine, kids are going to know what's expected of them and know what's going to happen throughout their day. Being used to that routine, they get up and they go and they know what to do when they get up. Like, for instance, you get up, you get dressed, you do your morning chores, you eat your breakfast, you brush your teeth. That's just the morning routine. And if they know that, then that's just going to come naturally to them each day when they get up.
Yeah. And that may be why some of the cute public school moms struggle with the weekends because their routine is getting up, getting ready, eating breakfast and going.
Right.
And now it's like, what do I do?
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
And so, yes, I love having that routine. And so we've gotten to a point, too, where I don't have to get up so early to exercise. Mm-hmm. Like, I can sleep until, like, 6:30 now. I know. I'm living large. But I can come home, and the little ones have the baby ready. They have eaten. They've gotten their chores done. They're dressed and ready to go. So I can come home. I grab a protein drink and we start school.
That's great.
So yeah. I love it. Like I said, you have to take the time to train them so that you can reap the benefit of it. Mm-hmm. Number four is excellence. And this is teaching them the habit of doing your best, which is so, so good. Like,
it's so good.
In life, to always do your best. Can you imagine, like, if you really showed up that way?
Mm-hmm.
In your schoolwork, do your best.
Yeah, and I think that's just a really important thing for kids to understand as well. I mean, I've said that about every single one of these. Goodness.
That's why we picked these five. Karen's like, this is a good episode. You guys should listen.
This is so good. We're so good. No, but for reals, I just think teaching your kids to always do their best, what else do you want out of life but to do your best?
Yeah.
I have always in my life sought to do my best. There's times when I'm obviously not at my best. If you're an example of that to your children and you're always striving yourself to do your best and not just giving it a half effort, they're going to see that and they're going to learn that from you and value that.
It's just great with your schoolwork and ways to teach that, I think, too. Like, if somebody does really sloppy penmanship, I was like, oh, look, we can just redo this. And yes. It's like, wait, what? Because there's no schedule. We don't just have to turn in our assignment and get it done, right? Like, no, we're going to do our best.
Yeah, it's not about just getting it done. I had to learn that. My oldest, he's kind of a sloppy, fast worker.
Okay.
He's very quick at getting his work done, but most of the time, very sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly right, but just a mess. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And often, like, if he would get problems wrong in his math, it would just be because he was hurrying through it and not taking the time to actually think it through. And so that's something I've had to work on with him a lot. And he's gotten a lot better as he's gotten older. I wasn't good about making him redo his handwriting and things like that. And his handwriting is atrocious.
Yeah.
It's terrible. He's left-handed. We blame it on that, but not really.
Is that how he was left-handed?
He is left-handed.
Are you right-handed?
Lefties. Yeah.
So is that tricky to teach him?
Yeah. Yeah. I have two left-handed kids.
That could be like a whole episode.
It's hard.
I'm curious about this now.
But I think it's been good for him to recognize, like, oh, I have to put in a little more effort. And it's not that he couldn't do well. It was just that he didn't give it his best and he didn't put in his best effort. And when he did, he recognized, I can do better if I take a couple of minutes. And he says that himself. He's like, I know my handwriting's bad, but if I slow down, I can make it look good. He recognizes
that.
Yeah,
he knows.
So
he's a bright kid.
Yeah,
he knows. But I think doing your best, too, with, like, your housework.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it just starts spilling over.
Yeah.
Because then it's, like, doing your best in life.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just Netflix binge? Like, that's not your best. You have to be honest with yourself.
Doing the best with how you spend your time each day.
Yeah.
I think important as well.
And it's not the perfection, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, doing your best.
Yeah. Then last one is free time. This is really about kids knowing how to be bored.
Yes.
Think of summer vacation, those days where they're just bored out of their minds. If a kid is used to that and boredom comes and they know what to do with it, instead of whining and complaining, they find a way to fill it, then I think that's a good thing. Or else they just allow it and their brain is okay with a little downtime. It's really good for them.
Well, it's just, we live in such an interesting age and I love all my modern conveniences. Mm-hmm. So please don't take them away. If I'm cold in the car, I can turn on seat warmers. And in Johnny's fancy car, the steering wheel even heats up.
I would love that.
Right? And so I'm like, I can be a little bit 1 degree up, 1 degree down and get that perfect temperature.
Right.
If the sound is a little bit off, we can get the perfect sound. Right? Mm. We never really have to be uncomfortable.
Right.
And so boredom, we don't have the skill of being bored.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've even noticed teaching my kids, because they'll even try to do something that's on a computer, but it's so funny to me, like they want to write a story and then it becomes checking their email and it becomes chatting with all their friends.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of stopped that. It's been freezing cold here and snowing, and the boys went and got their snow clothes on and then played outside for hours today. And so I think we have so much.
Yeah.
There's so much entertainment and so many things to just constantly.
You have to take it out from time to time and allow your mind to still.
Because that's where creativity stems
from, is
that boredom. Yeah. And sometimes the naughty stuff too, but like, I'm okay with that. Tree houses have been built out of boredom. I'm trying to think of all the crazy
snow
things.
Caves.
Like snow caves.
My kids build snow caves when we get a lot of
snow. We have a little tote goat and they built a jump one day. Can I do this? Can I experiment with this?
Yeah.
And They learned about physics.
That's
their
great.
Jump was not great.
I love it.
But there's a skill of being bored. And just with the habit of like, Mom, I'm bored. And just being like, okay, cool.
If my kids tell me that, they know that I'm going to give them a job. So yeah. They never even say it to me anymore.
Smart.
Oh, I've got things to keep you busy.
Yeah. Never mind.
No, I'm good.
The official Charlotte Mason steps to habit formation, which are used to break bad habits and replace them with good habits. She has 8 of them. Uh-huh. So we're going to just quickly tell you those 8 things.
Number 1, commit ourselves to the time and energy required for the task and don't begin until we are committed.
I love that. Mm-hmm. So like if you have a new baby, give it a minute because you may not be committed to actually teaching them this. Yeah. If you have just recovered from something, give yourself a minute. So when you're ready, like, okay, now is a good time. Mm-hmm. We're going to go and don't give yourself excuses. But like, okay, I don't have a newborn, but I have a minute, like I'm in this. So yeah. Commit to it. Number 2, pray for strength and perseverance, right? Of being patient. I got
this. We all need a little bit of extra prayer and strength, right?
Yeah, that one you just can't go wrong.
Yeah. Number 3, talk with the child, form a mother-child team determined to acquire the good habit. I think this is great if you communicate to your child what's happening and they understand as well. Yeah. It's just so important for them to be on the same team and be.
And I think that's why that connection is so big, because then you can be on the same team. And like how we talked about, both of our kids struggled with the seatbelt and mm-hmm. playing with friends, mm-hmm. but we're on the same team. They're like, okay,
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
But you need to have that relationship.
Right.
And number 4, don't allow the bad habit.
Or expect the new good habit is the second half of this.
Yeah.
You're not going to allow them to keep doing the bad habit. But at the same time, when you're teaching them a new habit, you can't always expect that to happen.
Okay, that didn't make sense to me. So thank you for explaining
that
to me. I
got it. I gotcha.
Okay.
I am tired, but I figured this
out. Yeah, I was like, smile and wave.
Yeah, so you know, you're teaching them something new. So
you're in that gray area. Mm-hmm, just like, okay, it's going to be a little bit messy. We're not going to do this bad habit anymore, but we also haven't mastered it. And that's okay. We're in mm-hmm. the middle.
Yeah. Number 5, remind the child as needed in a way that keeps mother and child on the same team.
Yeah, so not nagging.
Yeah, that's
what I was saying. And I think it'd be praise. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I noticed you got in the car the other day and you mm-hmm. put on your seatbelt. Thank you. You're doing awesome with that.
Or I love the way you folded your pants when you put away your laundry. You know, something simple like that. Like my kids love to just shove their clothes in and then things are overflowing from their drawers. And that's not the way I want them to put their laundry away. And so habit training of folding your clothes nicely so that the drawer actually closes.
I love this. Challenge the child to excel if appropriate. And I think this is so good as a homeschool mom because you know them. You can push them like, I see your potential. I know you can master this one. Like you are so amazing.
Yeah.
You've got this.
But I like that she added on if appropriate, because I think that sometimes we can over challenge our children mm-hmm. and expect too much out of them that they're not quite capable.
Well, and especially too, if you have a child with special needs or any mental health stuff, you're not going to have a kid who's super depressed and doing like, come on, you got this, mm-hmm. you got this. And you might be in a different place.
Yeah.
Number 7, permit no reversion.
So we don't want them reverting back. And I think this is very similar to don't allow the bad habit.
Yeah.
But if they've already maybe achieved this habit and are doing well at it, don't let them revert back to their old ways.
Isn't this good advice for ourselves too? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like I can think of so many things where I'm like, huh.
Oh, let me tell you mine this month. So I've been doing this 40-day sugar fast that I love. It's a book I highly recommend. Look it up. I let myself take a week off when I went out of town to New York.
Oh, interesting.
Because I wanted to just
relax,
experience New York and eat from the bakeries and different things. And it was really, really hard for me when I came back to jump back onto the no sugar bandwagon. Today was particularly hard for me. And so letting me have that little break, while it was fun for me, it was really hard to go back.
Exercise is another one.
Yeah, definitely.
Take a break from that.
Definitely.
But like if you take a big break from school, then mm-hmm. it's hard to get back in.
Yeah.
Charlotte Mason knew her stuff.
She did. And then had the final one, number 8, is to guard the habit. I love this too. I just think it's beautifully said. You know, if you have this new habit that you've worked for months to have, guard it, keep it, protect it, and keep working at it until it's a lifelong habit.
Yes. So that was this episode. I loved it. I'm totally biased. It was good for me as a reminder as well. Mm-hmm. As just like, yes, this is just habit training. Oh, you just haven't mastered that. That's what I love when my kids do something like they wash the dishes and like they kind of wash like peanut butter off a spoon. And it's
sort
like
of
disgusting.
Kind of wash it. Oh, I washed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, it's okay. You just don't have the skill yet.
Yes.
We're going to show it. I do my tutorials and mm-hmm. they hate those. So they're like, never mind. I'll redo it.
That's awesome.
All right, friends.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great week.
We'll see ya.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.